Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for being here. My presentation today titled The Effect of Biochar Application on Soil Health and Legume Crops Growth and Yield in Hawaii. I would like to acknowledge my co-authors and several of them actually here in the room here. I wanted to mention that this study was funded by the Western Sustainable Agriculture Research and Education and focused on the use of biochar in Hawaii. Biochar is a material that you make or you get from burning different organic waste. Ideally, it has to be high temperature and low or very minimum existing of oxygen during the process of making the biochar itself. Now, through my work and helping a graduate student who finished his PhD several years ago, he evaluated different types of biochar that's been processed from different feedstock and also at different temperatures. What we found that the feedstock itself, it wouldn't change much of the quality of the biochar that you get. However, temperature, it's one of the major factors to produce better biochar. We found, especially now, if you are looking for the huge surface area and also the surface functional groups, you go with the higher temperature, that will give you better results. In Hawaii, the interest of biochar has been increasing, especially under organic farmers. They've been making it on their own by using different ways, from the landscaping into the invasive species and so on. And we definitely need to focus on it because we need to look into both the positive and the negative effects so we can be ready to make sure to make recommendations and so on. So biochar as a soil amendment, it's been reported that the application of biochar will help the soil properties, definitely improve plant growth, and also contribute into a better environmental protection in reducing the leaching and the losses of a nutrient into the environment in different ways. Beans are they are known as very healthy crops. They are included in so many healthy diets, recipes. In Hawaii, we have very important what's called food and nutrition security issues in a way that maybe so many people know that Hawaii imports about 85% of what we consume. So we definitely need to focus on producing more food and definitely more healthier food for the generations to come. Soil health and nutrient management, especially under organic farming, it's a very important point because so many people that they are tend or they prefer to go into organic, but then looking into how they can manage, when to apply, how much to apply, what kind of fertilizer, and how is that related to soil health, and then how can you provide the plants with sufficient nutrient to give you a good yield. This area has been having more and more focus on it, and this study is actually part of it, which is we focus on how can we apply the biochar into soil that's infertile and has low pH and tend to show some toxicities of nutrient, and to see what are the improvement that we can have. Materials and method. This study was conducted on an oxysol soil that's very infertile, low in pH, high iron content, and it shows very aluminum and manganese toxicity very easily. The design was factorial in split plot. In the main plot, I had 9 main plots, and I distribute them into 3 blocks. In each, we did randomly, we distributed 3 rates of biochar, 0, 2, and 4%, and that will give you about 10 to 20 tons of biochar. So if you go with that 2%, now definitely based on the soil bulk density, you're going to have the rate can be changed. So usually it's you have the soil at 6 inch, 15 centimeter depth in an acre or in a hectare, and then you multiply or use also the soil bulk density to get into that weight. So 2% of it or 4% of it. For us, for this study, was 10 and 20 ton, and that's a huge amount, so we needed to look into what's the short-term effect and what's the long-term effect. Do we have to look into the biochar as fertilizer, conditioner, or more of as a tractor that you buy and you degrade the cost over time? We wanted to see if it will give us a long-term effect and improvement and positive effect. That will be very good for the to be able to do a cost-benefit analysis. In the subplots, I distributed factorial study, which is the 3 fertilizers that they applied at 3 rates of nitrogen. they were distributed in each of those main plots randomly. The total area that I used was 1,500 square meter. Duration was a three consecutive growing season, and I'm not saying that three consecutive growing seasons, that's a long-term study, but the hope is to be able to keep up with this study to see what's the short and long-term effect. The parameters we study, we used plant growth. We did only the yield and the total biomass. When it comes to the soil health, we used Solvitakit to measure the CO2 emission. And from also we use the a rate of 0 to 5 to scale up for the nodulation index and for the root gall index as well. In this study here, at the beginning I repeated the soybean and the bush bean varieties provider. I repeated them twice and I used the 0, 2, and 4% application rates of biochar. While when I evaluated the 24 varieties of bush bean, I used only the 0 and 2%. And I'm going to come into the results and explain why. Excuse me. When it came to the 24 varieties of the bush bean, you see how lovely they are? I was looking into the bell pepper. Usually you have it in the market with different colors. How can we start encouraging the people to eat more healthy, eat more beans? I was like, if we get those varieties that they are different color, maybe can put them together and sell them as you sell the bell pepper bag. So that could be more attractive to the eye, and then people will love it, and then will try it and increase the consumption as well. This is just the variability of the varieties. Some of the varieties that I tested, totally 24 varieties, they vary in the size, shape, and color of pods. In addition, I wanted to see which ones will do better at different locations in Hawaii. When it comes to the results, as you see here, that the biochar application for it did increase the total yield of soybean and the bush bean provider varieties, and there was no significant difference between the 2 and 4% of biochar for both crops. From there also, I took as the pods as a weight, and I made it as a percentage of the total biomass that the plant had. And we saw that also the biochar application did increase the amount of pods that you get. However, the increase wasn't really that much comparing with the total yield as the previous figures you see. At the same time, you can tell that also that between the 2 and 4%, there was no significant difference between the two application rates for both crops, for the bush bean and for the soybean as well. When it comes to the yield of the 24 varieties, this is only showing you the average of the 24 varieties of those bush bean that they are in different colors of pods. And we've, again, as I mentioned earlier, I tested them only under the 0 and 2% because previously for the soybean and the bush bean provider, we didn't see a significant difference between the 2 and 4%. Technically, because I repeated each of them twice, I kind of confirmed that there is no significant difference between the 2 and 4, and also to make that work a bit less. So I only went with the 0 and 2%. We found an increase, significant increase, in the yield of those 24 varieties. Some of them definitely varied, some of them were, the increase was steep, some of them were not. So that's why right now for this only, I went only with the average of the 24 varieties. However, I have a complete data set. When it comes to soil health, as I mentioned earlier, we use the Solvitakit to measure the CO2 from samples. Samples were taken within the root area. I would say about 10 to 30 centimeters, which is like 4 to 12 inch depth. Those are the samples were taken from there. And what we found that CO2 from the sample increase with the increase of application of biochar, that could be related to that the biochar itself gave the biology an additional surface area, and with the increase of biology, you are going to find an increase in the CO2 as well as a percentage for the increase of the biology, the total biology in the soil samples. When it it comes to the nodules index, we found that with the increase of biochar, this is from this study from the bush bean provider and soybean both. What we found that there was a significant increase in the nodules index with the increase of biochar application, and also there was a significant difference between the 2 and 4%. When it comes to the root gall index, which is a reflection of the root knot nematode, we found that the biochar application, and those are under the 24 varieties of the bush bean, we found that the biochar application, it reduced the root gall index. And I would say that maybe it's related to, could be just with the application of biochar, you provided an additional surface area to different biology, and with that competition in between, helped us to suppress the harmful nematode. That's an explanation that I've been thinking about, and definitely a more deeper studies needs to be included in order to pinpoint what are the reasons for a decline in the root gall index under the biochar application. There was no conclusion slide here, but I would like to mention that we found that the application of biochar for infertile kind of low property soils showed us an increase or significant increase or significant improvement very quickly. We did the studies with fertile soils. We also saw significant increase or significant improvement. However, it took a bit longer time, or we had to apply the biochar a bit earlier. For example, with fertile soil, we applied the biochar 2 weeks prior to transplanting in certain area, certain studies, and we found a significant increase. With that, I would like to conclude my presentation, and again, I would like to thank the Western Sphere and the Hawaii Department of Agriculture for funding these studies. Thank you. Please.
First of all, I mean, we're all trying to figure out what is biochar doing in the soil? Aeration. I mean, it doesn't do a lot of nutrition. So if we took it back to cation exchange, is there any kind of contribution of the biochar to cation exchange over and above, say, for example, the macadamia that would be uncomposted, or just the organic material itself? What's the CEC of one versus the other?
I don't have the data in top of my head right now, but definitely there was there is a differences in the cationic exchange capacity. There is a difference in the pH. So now the question is, if you have a fertile soil, but you want to just improve its properties, but it's already fertile and good in water holding capacity and so on, but you want to improve other properties. If you add a biochar that has 8.8 or 9 pH, what are you going to do to that, buffering those nutrients? That's why I'm saying we need definitely to look into a long term and also figuring out exactly how it's doing. We did the study on Maui. The soil is fertile. I applied the biochar one time immediately or a day before the transplant of different greens like Mizuna and Pak Choi and so on. We found a significant increase. However, it was very, I would say, barely significant. While when we applied the biochar 2 weeks prior to transplanting, we found a better significant difference. You can see it. So I would say that maybe an earlier application of biochar into fertile soils that will give the biochar and the soil chance to work together, kind of their differences, and hopefully coming to for my results, came to a good end. I found a significant increase. Now, coming back into your question is, definitely the stock of the materials can affect what you have, and it's the surface area. That's one of the major in biology, in cationic exchange capacity, because what's doing is giving nutrients that could be, if the soil particles are saturated, is going to just be in the soil solution and can be easily get lost. Either ways, up to the atmosphere or down with the leaching of water. However, when you have this increase of surface area, you're going to give the nutrients more chance to stick around there instead of getting lost with the soil solution.
But does biochar have a high CEC or not?
It does.
It does?
Yes.
So with coal?
Absolutely. But then Well, technically it is. It's just a matter of now, for example, well, ash and biochar. Ash is definitely, you don't expect the results as same as if you are using only ash. Biochar is the one that made at high temperature, close condition. Comparing with ash, anything you just burn out in the oven. That's been definitely a major contributor into the quality of biochar. Now, because of the cost, definitely looking into long-term studies to see the effect of it, because we want to see, is it going to get saturated? Is it going to get breakdown at some point? In Australia now, they are giving carbon credits to farmers to apply biochar. It's good for the environment so far, but then we want to definitely look into the long term. And unfortunately, grants, well, maximum 5 years, I don't think that's even enough. Any other questions? Sorry. Please. Out of time. I'm sorry. I will stick around. Thank you, guys. Thank you.